Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spees.
I'm your co-host, John Spees.
And we are wrapping up the first round of play in our 2024 TTT tournament with two true trivia terrors. In one corner, our second ever patron took down a wave of challengers to become the first ever TTT tournament champion back in 2021. Can he regain his former glory? He's too Scott to trot, Barber. What's up, Scott Barber?
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for the invite. Always a good time to be on this show.
We are always happy to have you. Could you please remind everybody about your Appalachian ways? Because you told me you're going to throw an apple at me if I don't say it the right way.
See, you remembered. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, Scott Barber from here in Appalachia. Boring accountant, treasury employee, guy moving fake money around all the time. An avid trivia lover, not the best player, but a definitely one who appreciates all things trivia, and currently scared to death of the person who is going to be my opponent today.
Ooh, yeah. Well, let's talk about that person. Like an F-150, this competitor trucked their way through other Jeopardy greats and delivered a payload into our hearts. Chock full of horsepower, it's Rowan Built Ward Tough.
Hello, hello, hello. I love it.
Hey, Rowan Ward, welcome back to the show, and please remind everybody a bit about you.
My name is Rowan Ward. I live in Chicago. Speaking of horsepower, I write about horses running around in circles for a living. And after we finish taping this podcast, I am headed to the track because this day we tape it, it is the second day of the shiny new Hawthorne race meet.
Nice. Did Shohei Ohtani's interpreter give you any money to add into the bets today?
Alas, no.
Okay.
I don't have that kind of money. You know, if I'm betting a horse race, I am still your consummate $2 bettor, or even more often, I'm just too busy working to bet.
All right. By the time this comes out, that won't even be topical anymore, but I felt like I needed to add it in there. All right. Now that we know our two competitors, let's get to know our rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
Now that we know the rules of our little show, I want to get to know Rowan and Scott just a little bit better. And because it is the season and every time I go grocery shopping or downtown or pretty much anywhere, I see Girl Scouts all over trying to sell me cookies. And yeah, I'm a sucker. What is your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Tagalongs. It is all about the tagalongs for me. Just those, the peanut butter, the chocolate, just the right amount of crisp. There is one kind of Girl Scout cookie I eat. Like, in general, I'm not really a cookie person, but I can crush a box of tagalongs.
All right.
Oh, I like tagalongs. I respect tagalongs. I respect the game that they bring. At the same time, I am all about the Samoas. Samoas is straight, right down the middle fastball. That's exactly. I mean, I could do without the entire rest of the catalog as long as they keep the Samoas for me.
Yep. One answer was good. And one answer was correct. And the best Girl Scout cookie is by far Samoas. I am a caramel and coconut fiend, and I will eat a whole sleeve of Samoas without question. So that means, Scott, yeah, you are going to get to pick first.
All right.
Like, I love coconut. I just wish they weren't caramel cookies.
Oh, well, no, they're so good. You get that nice chew. It's perfect.
Oh,
I don't like caramel. So the texture of caramel just can't do it. Uh-huh. No.
Really? It's a texture thing? Okay.
It's a texture thing.
That. Most people are that way with the... Most people are that way about the coconut, though, and not so much the caramel.
Coconut is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always sad that they're coconut caramel, because it's like, if they had coconut cookies that weren't caramel, I'd eat them all the time.
I've met a lot of people who the texture thing is the barrier for coconut, but not so much with caramel. So that's interesting. Interesting. All right. Well, let's go ahead and make a choice here. Let's start off with movies, please. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start off in the 90s.
And we have an explain a film plot badly question. So, Scott, I am going to give you a year and a poorly explained plot, and you have to tell me the movie. Okay. 1999, a man questions reality after taking drugs from a stranger.
99 to me would scream, oh, no, I almost screwed that up. I was going to say American Beauty because that's the best picture winner that year. And there's a little bit of a drug element in there. But I think this is The Matrix because that also came out in 99. So let's go to The Matrix.
The Matrix is correct.
Yeah.
Well done. Rowan, on to you.
I will take Toys and Games.
Toys and Games.
Also from the 90s.
Okay. What single-player skiing computer game was created in 1991 for Windows? The player controls a skier on a mountain slope, and when the player passes the 2,000-meter mark, the abominable snowman appears and starts to chase the player, eating them when it catches up.
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I've heard this game. It's a skiing game. Downhill skiing. Past the 2,000-meter mark, the abominable snowman comes. No, this is ringing no bells in my head. I'm going to guess Alpine.
Alpine is incorrect. Scott, can you steal?
Probably not. This isn't ringing a lot of bells with me either. I seem to remember a game called Slalom, so I'll just guess Slalom and call it a day.
Slalom is incorrect. So before looking this up, I had no idea what the game was, but John, I remember playing this game.
I definitely remember playing this game, and like as soon as you started talking about it, I'm like, I remember it. I was not going to be able to pull up the name, though.
Yeah. So the Abominable Snowman had like stick figure arms and legs, if you guys maybe all didn't play it. And the game is called Ski Free. Ski Free.
Okay.
Yeah, in 1991, the only computer in our house was still, we had a Mac 512, and then my parents got the Classic as well. And so many of the games just didn't come in Mac versions.
Sure.
That late 80s, early 90s computer gaming. I just don't know it because we didn't have it in our house.
Fair. All right, we are back to Barber.
All right, let's go music.
We're going way back to the 50s.
And we are going into the throwback lounge for this 50s question. So, Scott, I need you to name the group who performed this 1958 Billboard number one Christmas hit with the following lyrics. Christmas, Christmas, time is near. Time for boys and time for cheer. We've been good, but we can't last. Hurry, Christmas, hurry fast. Hey!
I think that's a very well done, by the way, a very well done version of Alvin and the Chipmunks' classic Christmas tune. So let's go Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Alvin and the Chipmunks is correct.
All right.
As soon as you said 50s Christmas number one hit, there was literally only one thing it could be.
That's it. All right. Rowan, where would you like to go?
All right. I will go. I like food. Let's go food.
Food is good.
Food is good.
And your decade will be the 60s.
The Anchor Bar in Western New York State is credited as the originator and home to what popular bar food first served in 1964.
Well, I find them disgusting because I think the texture of chicken skin is gross, though I can totally go for the nugget or tender versions of these. These are buffalo wings.
Buffalo wings is correct. And you're a texture person, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm very much a texture person.
I'm picking up on this. Yeah, I love buffalo wings. Yeah. I could mess up some wings, man.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, if it's like buffalo tenders, buffalo strips, buffalo nuggets, gimme, gimme, gimme. Just not the wings.
But when they're deep fried, they're nice and crispy. I get you, like, when you have a chicken skin that's not like not crispy, it's kind of gross, but like fried, it's perfect.
No, I can't even do the crispy.
Okay.
I need to get to the Anchor Bar though. As soon as I heard Anchor Bar, I was like, oh, I know what this is, because it's one of my goals to get there and try some buffalo wings where it all started.
There you go. All right, Scott, what category would you like?
Let's go TV.
And your decade is the 80s.
Right. We've got a question from Chris Hossie. Thank you, Chris. Sugar Baker and Associates was the workplace on what sitcom that debuted in 1986, starring Annie Potts, Dixie Carter, and Delta Burke?
That's Designing Women. Yeah, that's Sugar Baker. Could have stopped at that for me.
Okay, wow. You know you're Designing Women.
I also had it at Sugar Baker for the record.
I certainly did. For me, it would have taken to Delta Burke.
It makes me feel good knowing these this far up front because of the ones that I'm just going to be stumped on later.
There you go.
I'm just going to be like a ski-free. No idea about
that. All right, Rowan, we still have news and politics, fashion, slang, sports, and literature.
I like a good turn of phrase. Let's do slang.
Okay.
And your decade is the 50s.
In 1956, Zenith introduced the world to the first wireless TV controller. And thanks to the sound it made, soon after, people started referring to the device as what term?
Thanks to the sound that it made, I can think of a couple of onomatopoetic, there we go, names for remote controls. And I think I'm going to go with the one that makes the most sense. You push a button, you hear a click. I'm going to say the clicker.
The clicker is correct. Hand me the clicker.
What's funny is my first thought was zapper. And it's I think there'd be some electrical problems in it if it were the zapper. So let's go with the clicker.
Yeah. That's the NES gun from my childhood.
Yeah.
I used to have this remote on my keychain. It wasn't really a remote. It was just a little black box. It had one button on it, and it was called a TV Be Gone. And basically, you push the button, and it had the encodings for turning off a bunch of different brands of TVs. So I would take it to bars and just start, being all chaos.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah. 2 outs, bottom of the ninth, and here's the final click.
Yeah.
I soldered it together myself and everything.
That's very cool. All right, Scott, we're back to you.
Let's go sports.
Okay.
And your decade is the 2000s.
In 2008, the Baltimore Ravens unveiled 3 anthropomorphic Raven mascots. What were the names of each of them? Inspiration coming from a single famous Baltimore resident.
So if it's 3, and I'm pretty sure one of them is Poe, so I'm going to guess Edgar Allan and Poe.
Edgar Allan and Poe is correct.
Ooh.
I mean, given that the team name is itself an Edgar Allan Poe reference, that makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I'm an AFC North fan when it comes to football, so unfortunately I know a lot about the Ravens.
There you go. All right. Rowan, would you like literature, fashion, or news and politics?
Literature, fashion, or news and politics. I will go with literature.
Coming at you.
That is also from the 2000s.
Okay. What comic book character first appeared in a preview as part of Savage Dragon number 102 from August 2002, before graduating to his own self-titled regular series in 2003? This Robert Kirkman creation would go on to have his own Amazon show beginning in 2021.
Could you repeat that, please?
Of course. What comic book character first appeared in a preview as part of Savage Dragon number 102 from August 2002, before graduating to his own self-titled regular series in 2003? This Robert Kirkman creation would go on to have his own Amazon show beginning in 2021.
This is what I was dreading. Literature, I was hoping for like 50s or 60s and, you know, books without pictures in it. We were talking before about how much of not a comic book person I am. Oh, goodness. Savage Dragon, own series in 2023. Amazon show 2021. Don't have Amazon, but I make a lot of flashcards about random TV series, although 2021 was when I was just starting doing that, so I wasn't as on top of my current events as I am in like 2022 through 2024. You use the word graduated, and that's really sticking in my craw. Oh boy. Savage Dragon. I don't know anything about Savage Dragon. Yeah, this is absolutely not right, but I have none of these clues are getting me anywhere. So I'm just going to say the extremely wrong answer of Scott Pilgrim and be done with it.
Scott Pilgrim is incorrect. Scott, can you steal?
Maybe. I don't know the Savage Dragon piece of it, but I do know Robert Kirkman and, 2021 is about the time that Invincible started on Amazon. So I'm going to go Invincible.
Invincible is correct.
Well done.
As just again, without the clues, I don't get it. I don't get it from the Savage Dragon at all.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's just where he started. But Invincible, I think one of the best shows on TV right now. I absolutely
love it. It's fun. I haven't tuned into season two yet, though. Oh. I'm waiting for him to build up a little bit.
Sure, very good. I'm very happy with season two.
Exactly zero of those clues would ever have gotten me to Invincible between now and the heat death of the universe.
Yeah. You should watch Invincible. It's pretty good.
It is.
It's definitely if you you almost have to like The Boys.
Yeah.
It's kind of that same feel. If you like The Boys off of Amazon, it's an animated version of the Boys, kind of, mm-hmm. which itself was comic book. So
yeah, and was that Robert Kirkman as well?
No, I think that was Garth Ennis.
Oh, okay, it was Garth Ennis.
That sounds right.
Okay,
right,
that does sound right. All right, but yeah, right, very similar styles. All right, getting the steal, and Scott, we are back to you. News and politics or fashion?
News and politics. Why not?
Okay.
We're going way back to the 50s.
All right. In 1956, there was an attempted countrywide revolution against the government of what country? It was caused by the government's subordination to the Soviet Union. The uprising led to the deaths of 2,500 locals and 700 Soviet army soldiers and compelled 200,000 people to seek political refugee abroad, mostly to Austria.
Okay, I'm sorry to make you reread it. Can I get a reread?
In 1956, there was an attempted countrywide revolution against the government of what country? It was caused by the government's subordination to the Soviet Union. The uprising led to the deaths of 2,500 locals and 700 Soviet army soldiers and compelled 200,000 people to seek political refugee, to become political refugees abroad, mostly to Austria.
I don't know this. Just trying to think of what countries around there would be. Austro-Hungary seems like it was a thing, so let's just guess Hungary. All today. Sorry.
Hungary is correct.
Really?
The Hungarian uprising, and at the time it was called Hungarian People's Republic.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
good job.
Lucky again.
Yeah, well, using Austria, the one hint of Austria, and that's why they would go. They would go next door.
Excellent. So, all right.
All right, Rowan, you are left with fashion.
I am left with fashion, which I don't mind. I'm not great at it, but it's something that I've tried to get a little bit better at, just because they do ask about it enough on OQL, and sure, I get sick of dropping points on it. So let's see if this is something I've studied.
Well, it will be about the 60s.
What company introduced the first consumer sunless tanning lotion into the market in the 60s? This product was called Quick Tan, or QT, and it was sold as an overnight tanning agent.
Okay, so what company sold sunless tanning QT? I am not familiar with the QT brand of sunless tanning. So I guess that leaves me guessing a brand of something that would possibly make suntan lotion stuff. I'll guess Coppertone.
Coppertone is correct.
Nice.
Yes. Good job.
That was my only guess too, Rowan.
No, I had a handful of them, but I decided I may as well go for like the first gut instinct. Sure. That was Coppertone.
Well, excellent.
And that is the end of round one. John, how are things looking?
All right. Well, Scott has a bit of a lead, but anything can happen in round two. Scott has 60 and Rowan has 30.
Yep, absolutely. We can see how round two goes. And as Scott got to start off round one, that means, Rowan, you are picking for Scott to start off round two.
All right. Let's give Scott... Let's give Scott fashion!
Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
Your decade will be the 90s.
What two-word tattoo covered most of Tupac Shakur's midsection and was a tribute to the hip-hop group that he co-founded in 1993? Rising with his popularity, it became fashionable to see on other tattoos, on shirts and in memes.
Seems like I can see this in my brain. Is it Thug Life?
Thug Life is correct.
All right.
Good job. All right. And what do you want to give to Rowan?
Oh, Rowan's good at everything. I don't want to give them anything.
Well, somebody's ahead 70 to 30, and
it's luck. Let's go.
That's how Scott Barber is. Oh, it's lucky. I just tripped into knowing this answer. Oh, I fell into knowing that other answer.
Stop it. All right. Let's go with Toys and Games.
Toys and Games.
And the decade will be the 60s.
In 1964, Mattel released what toy consisting of a series of die-cast metal molds resembling various bug-like creatures, into which is poured a liquid chemical substance called Plastigoop, which comes in assorted colors. The Plastigoop is cured by heat, and when cooled, forms semi-solid rubbery replicas that can be removed from the mold.
Okay. So I have heard of this, although I, like, the thing that I'm thinking of, I'm not sure it was as old as the 60s. So that's my only thought on this. But, okay. Pouring goop into a mold to make rubbery, icky bugs. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the toy that I'm familiar with and just hope that it's a little older than I thought and say creepy crawlers.
Creepy crawlers. I remember that commercial. And that is correct.
Nice.
Yes.
Is.
Good
so,
job.
I remembered that commercial as well. That's
exactly.
Creepy crawlers.
Wow.
It's the only reason that it stuck in my head is that jingle.
Yep. It's the toy was originally called Thing Maker. in the 60s when it came out. And then I think Vacuum Maker, they called it at one point. They rebranded it in the 90s as Creepy Crawlers. So I would have accepted any of those answers. So
I had no clue on that one.
The whole history
job.
Of the names. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like slogans and jingles. There was a period of time growing up that my parents were like, you should really go into advertising. And yeah, I mean, my disillusionment with capitalism makes advertising a very bad fit for me, but it's also very weird, like, how well they stick. And I think that's part of why, like, that's part of my disillusionment with the system, but it also helps with trivia when questions like creepy crawlers pop up. So it's a double-edged sword.
Very true. All right, Rowan, you get to pick the next category for Scott.
I will pick slang. Slang.
And we finally have a 70s question.
Okay.
Ooh, groovy.
I'll take that. Groovy.
That's pretty close. A 1976 article in Philadelphia Magazine attributes what word as being used by South Philadelphians to indicate something physically or morally repulsive and is derived from an Italian word meaning to loathe.
Okay, let's get a reread, please.
Of course. A 1976 article in Philadelphia Magazine attributes what word as being used by South Philadelphians to indicate something physically or morally repulsive and is derived from an Italian word meaning to loathe.
Physically or morally repulsive. To loathe. That's an Italian origin, right? 1976. Physically, morally repulsive to loathe. Italian. I'm completely blanking on what this could be. Repulsive. I don't know. Let's. It seems early for it, but I'll just guess grody. I don't know.
Grody is incorrect.
Okay.
Rowan, can you steal?
I do not know this either. I was brainstorming a bit and grody came to mind, although I agree it feels a little later. But the one that, like, I know there are Italian words that have, like, that, you know, that CCHI thing, like key or ick. So I was like, icky, maybe? I'm going to go with icky.
Icky is incorrect. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, y'all were close, and this is another one that fits right in with grody and icky. The Italian word is schifare, and I'm looking for skeezy. Skeezy.
Skeezy. Oh,
skeezy. Okay. That makes a lot of sense, especially at the morally part. Yeah.
Okay.
Skeezy. Good.
All right. No points awarded, and Scott, you are given to Rowan.
Literature.
Why not? Okay. Literature.
The decade is the 90s.
Okay. The Imagination Library is a free children's book gifting program started by what singer in 1995? The program started by offering a monthly book to each child in Sevier County, Tennessee, regardless of family income.
I had it as soon as you said the Imagination Library, although I didn't know that it started quite that early. I think I would have pegged it in the aughts, but the Imagination Library is Dolly Parton.
It is Dolly Parton, and we all love her so much. Getting your question, and now you got to pass one over to Scott.
Let's go with the news and politics.
News and politics for Scott.
The decade is the 70s.
The October Crisis was a chain of political events that started in October 1970 when members of what radical group kidnapped the provincial labor minister Pierre Laporte and British diplomat James Cross from his Montreal residence. These events saw the Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau invoking the War Measures Act for the first time in Canadian history during peacetime. So I'm looking for members of what radical group? The radical group.
what was they called? I know this. I think it's, is that the Liberation Front?
I need you to be more specific.
I don't know that I can. the Canadian Liberation Front. I don't know.
The Canadian Liberation Front is incorrect.
Okay.
Rowan, can you steal?
Probably not. I don't know if I've ever heard of this. So Liberation Front is certainly closer than I was ever going to get had this one been dropped on me. Could you reread the question just in case, just to see if I can mine it for another clue or two?
The October Crisis was a chain of political events that started in October 1970 when members of what radical group kidnapped the provincial labor minister Pierre Laporte and British diplomat James Cross from his Montreal residence. These events saw the Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau invoking the War Measures Act for the first time in Canadian history during peacetime.
So it was, they kidnapped a Canadian official and a British official. All right. I am going to go with the, let's see, I'm just kind of imagining something inside the country. So perhaps maybe something about the liberation of Indigenous groups. So I'm going to say the Inuit Liberation Front.
The Inuit Liberation Front is incorrect. John, I'm going to kick over to you.
It's a shot in the dark guess here, but the one place that I know has on and off been has been asking to be free of Canada was Quebec.
Oh,
so is it the Quebec Liberation Front?
Yeah, it's the Front de Libération, Liberation du Québec. So it's the Liberation
so
Front of
sense.
Quebec. Okay. Now, there are multiple Liberation Fronts, so that's why I could not just accept that.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. All right, but yes, Quebec was the qualifier.
That makes
there.
Perfect sense, because they've tried to secede several times. Yeah.
Cannot believe I didn't think of Quebec.
me neither.
Ugh. All right, no points awarded, and Scott, you're giving to Rowan.
Food. Okay. Why not?
Well, why not might be because it's the 50s.
Yeah.
Okay. Recipes for what dish began appearing in 1953 with roots from Italian immigrants? It's a poultry breast pounded, breaded, and fried, then covered in tomato sauce and cheese.
Poultry breast pounded and fried, covered in tomato sauce and cheese. That sounds like a chicken parmesan, so I'm going to say chicken parmesan.
Chicken parm or chicken parmesan or chicken parmigiana is all correct.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I do like me a good chicken parm.
It's impossible not to. I mean, yeah, you get tomato sauce, you get fried chicken, and you get cheese. It's great. And usually
and
over a bed
cheese.
Of spaghetti. Yeah, extra cheese.
Yes.
All right. What would you like to give to Scott?
I will give Scott, let's see what we got left here.
We have music, movies, TV, and
music,
sports.
Music, movies, TV, and sports. I was looking to see if we had anything other than music, movies, TV, and sports. And we do not. So... I'll do movies.
And it will be the 70s.
What 1971 romantic black comedy drama stars Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon as it follows the young man who is intrigued with death as he develops a friendship and eventual romantic relationship with a 79-year-old woman?
Can you reread of that?
You can. What 1971 romantic black comedy drama stars Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon as it follows a young man who is intrigued with death as he develops a relationship, or sorry, as he develops a friendship and eventual romantic relationship with a 79-year-old woman?
I think that's Harold and Maude. Let's go Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude is correct.
Of course, I give movies away, and it's like the one 70s movie question I might have actually gotten correct.
Oh, there's Godfathers out there.
There you go.
Jaws, right. Star Wars.
There's a couple good movies from the 70s.
Yeah. Sports. Let's go sports.
Okay. Sports to ruin.
And it will be the 90s.
Stormy is the official mascot for what NHL team? He is an anthropomorphic pig who wears the number 97 for the year the franchise moved and rebranded to this name.
Well, let's see. I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. I know the Carolina Hurricanes played 2 years in Greensboro from 97 to 99. And then in 1999, they started playing in Raleigh. And my first professional hockey game I ever went to was a Canes Bruins game. This is the Carolina Hurricanes.
There we go.
This is the Carolina Hurricanes.
That was right down
right in the wheelhouse.
Perfect. Doesn't get better.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. Yup.
All right. Rowan, what do you want to give to Scott? Music or TV? Or what do you want to keep for yourself?
I don't really want to give either of these to Scott, but it basically boiled down to we were down to music, sports, movies, and TV, and I really don't like movies or TV in general, so I'm giving you TV because that's I good. Want music.
Understood.
Your decade is the 50s.
In 1956, Bill Bullen was the original host of what game show, where a panel of contestants placed bids on merchandise prizes with the goal of bidding closest to each prize's actual retail cost without surpassing it?
That, I don't know. Is it Bill? How do you spell Bullen? Is it B-U-L-L-E-N?
B-U-L-L-E-N.
Bill Bullen. I don't know Bill Bullen at all, but that show sounds a lot like The Price is Right. So let's just say The Price is Right.
The Price is Right is right.
All right.
Absolutely. Yep. They actually didn't. They added a lot of the mini games and whatnot later to the show. It was kind of more simple, just getting the retail costs like back in the 50s. And then they added those extra little mini games and whatnot later with Bob Barker and like in the 70s or something.
Okay.
Okay. All right, and that is going to leave music for Rowan.
Their decade will be the 90s.
90s, okay. Y'all are so lucky because the first music question was the Throwback Lounge, and now you get another Throwback Lounge question.
Yes!
Now we're talking.
So, Rowan, I need you to name the artist of this 1996 Billboard number 2 hit from the Hot 100 chart, okay? You've got the most unbelievable blue eyes I've ever seen. You've got me almost wilting away as we lay there under a blue sky with pure white stars. It's all the sweetness, magical time. Hey!
I love you always, forever, near and far. We'll be together everywhere. I will be with you. I hate that song, but I remember it. It's Donna Lewis.
That is correct. It is Donna Lewis. And I love you always forever.
Yeah, nice. I had that like four words in.
Perfect.
Nice.
All right. That is the end of round two. John, how do we stand?
All right. Well, we got a barn burner here. Scott has 90, but Rowan is right on his heels with 80.
Yes. All Ooh. Right. Only 10 point difference. This is pretty exciting to see what is going to happen. And we need to know what are going to be our final two questions in decades or categories in decades. So, Scott, as you were in the lead, you get to pick first.
Let's go with movies.
Okay.
And the decade will be the 50s.
And Rowan, what do you want to add to it?
Get my chart. I've been keeping track not only of what, you know, the categories, but what decades of each category have been used up, because I got burned not doing that another time I played this game. So I think with that, I want to go food.
And that will be the 70s.
All right, will the two of you write down your wagers based on 50s movies and 70s food?
And don't write them down. Text
them
to me.
Yeah, send them to John.
All right. The bids are in.
We are going to start off with our 50s movies question. In the 1956 historical drama The Conqueror, who starred as Mongol leader Genghis Khan? The film was critically panned, and it is often ranked as one of the worst films of the 50s, and is considered one of the worst casting decisions in history. And our 70s food question. The Raffle Brothers first opened what restaurant in 1964, but it wasn't until the 70s when we got their iconic shakes and shaped fries. And specifically shaped fries. While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I am going to remind everybody, go to beefopnetwork.com. That's BFOPnetwork.com for all your nostalgic podcasting needs.
And how do we submit our answers?
You'll have them. You'll say them.
Oh, okay. We don't send them to anybody.
We trust you.
Yeah.
We're just trying to be more official with the score.
Yeah, just the scores. Yeah. If you're cheating for a t-shirt, Rowan, then that's shame on you.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't roll like that.
Exactly. All right. Are you both good?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
All right, Rowan, as you were slightly ever so behind, what were your answers to our 70s food and our 50s movies question?
Well, I have something in my head about a really bad casting decision of casting John Wayne as Genghis Khan. So I went with John Wayne for the movie question. And then as far as the restaurant, iconic shakes and shaped fries, they've got really, you know, they've got really good curly fries, and the Raffle Brothers Arby's. So I said John Wayne and Arby's.
Scott?
That's exactly what I went with. John Wayne, I knew. I can still see his casting in my brain. And RB is not roast beef. It's Raffle Brothers. Arby's. Yep. And the same two answers right there.
Okay. And the correct answers were John Wayne, who was horrendously cast as Genghis Khan in The Conqueror, and Arby's, which does stand for Raffle Brothers, and their Jamocha shakes and curly fries, and it just deliciousness and heart inducing pounding amounts of sodium. It's so good. All right, John, you have the wagers. What happened?
All right. Well, Scott, being conservative, decided that champions bet zero. And he bet zero, so he will end with 90. And Rowan bet to cover, and they end up with 91 and will take down the former champion.
Holy moly. I was not expecting.
Good job.
I was not expecting that at all as soon as we both got both halves.
Yeah, I had no confidence of getting the food question. But
I had some confidence on the food. I had no confidence that I'd know the movie question, but I wanted to bet just in case on a zero bet, but also, you know, force you to get them both right and bet something.
Nicely done, Rowan.
Excellent job.
Good game.
Yep. I originally had the John Wayne question flip-flopped where it was John Wayne played Genghis Khan in what film, and you would have had to name the film. Yeah. I thought that might be a little bit too tough, so I swapped that around as The Conqueror. But, I mean, hard fought. Great come-from-behind victory, Rowan, and you are continuing on our tournament. Well done. Which means you will be taking on Nick Groves in the next round.
Nice.
Oh, that's going to be a barn burner,
that
too.
That should be very exciting. Well, you'll get to speak again later in our tournament. Scott, now is your time to say your piece.
Well, congratulations, Rowan. Excellent job. Best of luck to you the rest of the tournament. And as always, this is a great tournament to listen to. If you're thinking about being a Patreon of this show, if you're just listening and you're not a Patreon yet, go ahead. Get into the tournament next year. It's a great time. It's a great tournament. And it's a great show.
Well, thank you, sir. We very much appreciate that. And as I said, Rowan, you're done talking for now. You're going to keep going on, tournament. We'll talk to you more later. But for you, for Rowan, for Scott, and for John, I'm Adam. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Hello!
La la la.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Corey.
And we are the hosts of Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast. We are breaking down every single episode of Seinfeld as we watch it, reliving this amazing show.
That's right, it's a trip down memory lane for all of us 90s kids out there. You can find Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Patreon.
La la la.